Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barapapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
All right, let me turn my talk. Here we go. He said he's living life as a gringo. Where you question where you fit in every time you mingle. They say you do this with not enough that. My rapping is really bad. This life as a gringo.
Yes, hello and welcome to another episode of Life as a Gringo. I am Dramos, of course. First and foremost, my apologies on this episode being just a little bit late or, you know, a lot late, whatever. If you've been following me for a minute, you know that I got hit by a bad hurricane. Hurricane Ida came and did a lot of damage to my property. So we were getting some threats here in my area of another similar kind of flooding situation. The state was put into a state of emergency. So I kind of had to abandon ship and go, just out of precaution, get out of here a little bit early, and I wasn't able to record the podcast. It seems like we have a bit of a break in the weather. I don't know, I'm becoming like a fucking weatherman now. But we have like beautiful weather right now, and then it's supposed to just become another shitstorm in a few hours. So I figured while I had this quick break, I ran back to my studio to record this to make sure I got an episode out today for y'all. And then it's back to locking down just in case of, a flood that ruins everything once again. But moving on, let's get to what we're going to be talking about on today's show. And this is actually heavily influenced on some things that I've been personally seeing on social media, as well as I've talked about some of the comments that we've gotten on the podcast, both good and bad. And it got me really thinking a lot about something that I've definitely noticed as I've kind of been doing different things in the public eye. And that's this idea that people love to kind of run to judgments about one another. And I'm not saying this as somebody who has never done this. Of course, I've been guilty of prejudging somebody or judging somebody I see on social media and thinking that I have their, kind of mindset figured out. But it is fascinating to me, kind of this culture that we have of like headline reading and everything that comes along with it. Like we're all moving so fast and kind of making these quick snapshots of people that we see or just ideas and concepts. I mean, we're seeing a lot in politics where people are really succumbing to a lot of conspiracy theories and things like that because it's just quick kind of fast food media that we're getting and fast food news. And it's kind of not letting us get the whole story. And after reading some YouTube comments that I was getting on a couple of videos where it really was like obvious people were like commenting and making judgments before even watching all the content, and also a specific kind of review of the podcast that I got, which wasn't totally bad, but just got me thinking it was really interesting to kind of see that people have this idea or this perception of you. And again, I'm included in that. I think that I'm guilty of this at times as well. I thought it might be a good topic of conversation, kind of this idea of what social media culture has done to us in terms of our critical thinking, but also as human beings, why we're so quick to kind of make up our mind about people. I mean, shit, this has been the reason for, you know, racism and wars and all kinds of different things throughout history. You know, just our innate sort of want and need to categorize things as human beings. I just find it super fascinating. And it's something that, you know, I think with some work we can hopefully begin to correct. But I thought it'd be interesting to kind of dive into why we do that about ourselves. And also, I thought this would be a funny way to kind of read live here on the show some of the comments I've been getting, the good, the bad, the ugly, and I'll give you my wholehearted, honest response to what I'm seeing from different people and some of the feedback and things like that. Kind of like my own version of when they do that, like celebrities reading mean tweets, except I'm not a celebrity, and I don't think people are really tweeting about me like that. But reading the podcast reviews here, I thought that'd be a fun thing to kind of incorporate in today's show. And obviously with the shit show that's happening with the podcast and me just kind of having to run around right now and not be able to, you know, do everything like I normally would do in preparation, we won't have the Ask a Gringo segment, but I kind of feel like we're sort of working that in there when I'm reading some of y'all's reviews and comments on the podcast. Before that, though, let's do a deep dive and kind of see what different experts have to say about this idea of like the culture that social media is creating about kind of this fast food sort of information, you know, era that we're in right now and how that affects our ability to critically think. And then also just, I think, human nature to judge, you know, and why we as humans, again, myself included, do this and kind of rush to create these snap judgments of people before we get the full story. And we'll do that, of course, in a segment we call For the People in the Back.
Say it louder for the people in the back.
All right. So, I mean, in general, this idea of like people judging one another, our sort of innate want to categorize people, like that is nothing new. But it definitely does feel like kind of in this age of social media, we're even quicker to kind of do so. And now, like, what I think makes it even worse and sort of like, I guess, more obvious is the fact that all of us now have a platform to make our judgments heard. And many of those judgments, you know, are being made with no real weight to them, you know, and that is what becomes a bit dangerous. So we'll get into kind of a few things that I kind of want to start when we talk about just like human nature when it comes to wanting to judge other people. So there's this article from the India Times that I found online that I thought had a lot of really interesting kind of perspectives on this. And it's called The Real Reason We Judge People and What It Says About Us. Now, in the article, they go on to say, we all judge. We are predispositioned to this natural tendency. It's a part of human nature. But why do we judge? And then they have this quote from Carl Jung that I think is incredible. And they feel it kind of sums it up. And it says, thinking is difficult. That's why most people judge. And the article goes on to say, judging is easy and doesn't require much thinking or reasoning. Our brains are wired to make automatic judgments about others' behaviors so that we can move through the world without spending much time or energy in understanding everything we see. Understanding is harder as it requires deep thinking, patience, compassion, and an open mind. And I want to pause right there because I think that that's incredibly important when you're talking about the era that we're living in right now. While technology is incredible, I mean, shit, it's the reason why I'm talking to you right now, right? Like it's giving me the ability to communicate with people all over the world, potentially, and also to make a living for myself doing something that I love. So I'm not like, you know, fuck technology. It's destroying us all. I never subscribe to that whatsoever. But I think we also have to kind of be cognizant of the potential kind of negative aspects of it. I mean, look at everything that's happening with Facebook right now, you know, and misinformation and all these internal documents that are being leaked. And it's because all of this is new to us as a society, right? Like the idea of social media and the effects of it. These are all brand new concepts to us. So we're all kind of adjusting to it right now. And that's why I think it's important to be conscious of this and not to just brush stuff off as like, oh, it's just social media. Like, no, this stuff is affecting the way we live our lives. And it's important for us to kind of set those limitations and boundaries because it's new, right? So somebody has to do it. So while the government probably has to regulate certain things, it's also important for us as individuals to sort of regulate and be aware of some of the negative aspects of it so we can correct them and not allow it to kind of affect us in this way. And I say all that to say, technology and social media have made life incredibly easy for us, right? Like, I don't even have to flip the switch on in my studio anymore, right? I just tell Alexa to do it and the lights go on. So all of that stuff, you know, while it is very convenient, it also kind of, I think, makes us lazy, right? If we have too easy for too long, we become a bit lazy. We're so used to, you know, the news just being thrown in there very quickly, ideas being thrown in there very quickly, and we don't have to do, you know, as much deep thinking, as much critical thinking. And what goes with that is our patience begins to kind of go away. Our compassion for others begins to kind of dwindle, and we begin to have less and less of an open mind, basically is what they're saying here. Now, the article does go on to say, human behavior specialist Dr. John DeMartini refers to this phenomenon as self-righteous and self-wrongous. Judging is simply our attempt to create a hierarchy of better than and less than, superior and inferior to, and to define worth to everyone and everything that we meet. We have the innate urge to be right, to be better, to be superior, always. Our binary view of the world around us necessitates us to either be right or wrong, so we tend to judge. And there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, it goes beyond like social media trolls and all that shit, obviously, but even think about the world of politics that we're seeing right now. To me, when I look at it all, one of the main problems is that neither side is willing to budge or succumb to maybe some of their ideals might be wrong. And that's why we're seeing all that we're seeing. And the problem, again, when you connect that to social media, is that we can curate our feed, and the algorithm does this automatically, to just seeing things that reinforce our point of view. So now it no longer becomes about what's actually right, what's actually good for all of us. It just becomes about continuing to prove that our point of view is the right point of view. And that's where all of this anger, all of this infighting happens, and also what we're seeing in government, where neither side can come together to actually make anything happen for us, the people that actually put them in office. Now let's kind of move into what some of the experts are saying when it comes to technology, to kind of tie it all together. Now, this blog called The Conversation says, we live in an age of information. In theory, we can learn everything about anyone or anything at the touch of a button. All this information should allow us to make super informed, data-driven decisions all the time. But the widespread availability of information does not mean that you actually use it, even if you have it. In fact, decades of research in psychology and behavioral science find that people readily make data poor snap judgments in a variety of instances. People form lasting impressions of others in the span of milliseconds. Evaluators judge teachers in less than a minute. And consumers make shopping decisions based upon little deliberation. Even voting decisions can seemingly be predicted from preliminary impressions formed during incredibly brief time periods. If these findings seem remarkable to you, recent research suggests that you are not alone. The immediacy of human judgment generally surprises people. Individuals fail to anticipate how little information they and others use when making decisions. Modern technology allows virtually any decision made today to be more informed than the same decision made a few decades ago. But the human reliance on quick judgments may forestall this promise, right? So the idea that we're living in the information age, that everything is available at our fingertips, does not actually mean that we as a society are more informed or more well-educated. And also, I would argue that there's too much information, right? We're getting hit with too many different news stories. I mean, shit, even, you know, traditional media on television, everything is breaking news and it's got all big headlines and this and that, breaking news coming into the CNN newsroom, this and that, right? It all like makes it seem like some crazy news story is happening when like half the time it's like breaking news, Joe Biden has diarrhea. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, I mean, I guess that's like new news, but is it really like that important to stamp on the screen breaking news and interrupt everything else that's happening? But it's this idea of keeping us excited and bombarding us with information to keep us watching, to keep us invested. And that's exactly what social media does. Look at Instagram. It keeps refreshing your feed, so you have something new to see every single time you log onto the screen. So it makes you want to log on more and more. If it just stalled, you know, at just post for today and there was no new post, you wouldn't keep loading your phone as often. But the fact that you know every time that algorithm is going to show you something different, it makes you keep going on there. And again, bombarding you with information. And that's how they do it. So now you're just quickly trying to make it through all this new information that's being thrown at you, and you're not really taking the time to process it. And I think that also happens when we talk about our interactions with people, and maybe even, you know, celebrities or people that we look up to on social media. we're quickly just trying to make this quick snap judgment of them and move on to the next thing, it feels like. And I do want to touch on one other article from some kind of studies, and these are directly related to social media as far as like the idea of headline reading and how that's kind of become our culture when it comes to how we ingest information and the news, I guess. But let's first take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barapapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there. I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, we are back. And one last thing I wanted to reference as far as this kind of little deep dive goes. This is a blog post on Medium that I found from Rose Thorne. She's the author on there. And she has some studies and some percentages here that I found to be interesting. So she starts out saying almost 60% of people who share this story on social media will do so without ever reading past the headline. That's according to a Columbia University study analyzing the type of content that receives the most engagement on Twitter. The article goes on to say the creation of social media marks a pivotal point in the story of how America's stopped reading past the headlines. It's partly due to the speed at which mass amounts of information can come at us in an era where we're busier than ever before. According to the News Literacy Project, 58% of Americans said the increased amount of information to sift through on social media actually makes it more difficult to stay informed. While 68% said they use social media as a way to get news, 57% said they didn't trust what they read on those sites. And I think this is clearly evident once again in kind of this conspiracy theory culture that we are in. A lot of people who have really strong opinions when you kind of get them into a debate about certain things. And we've heard this about like the vaccine, let's just say, right? The amount of misinformation that goes into that, where it's very obvious that people are sort of just reading headlines and then making a general assumption about something like that. And there's been clearly plenty of stories of like, you know, this vaccinated person still had COVID and ended up passing away. And that's the headline. And then that will like reinforce people will be like, you see, the vaccine is useless. People are still dying. So why would I put that in my body? And then the actual bigger story is there, though, is if you actually would have compared then number of people who got COVID unvaccinated and died versus the number of people vaccinated who got COVID and still survived, right? That would be like the real story because it'd be drastically different numbers. And that would be why it's important for you to get vaccinated, right? I'm not here to talk about the vaccine. I've done that in previous episodes, but just certain pieces of information like that, right? Where like the headline has you creating this whole entire narrative, this whole entire story behind it, but it's only really giving you a piece of the information. And I feel like so much of the way that we view the world and how our sort of viewpoint of the world is shaped is based upon these little increments of information. And again, it creates this society that just does not have, I feel like, the sort of analytical thinking, the critical thinking needed to really decipher important things. Like I feel like my generation and man, the one after mine is going to be even worse off. But like a lot of these things are like muscles. You know what I mean? Like you have to work out these muscles. Like it's like, you know, your ability to read at a certain speed. Like if you aren't consistently working at it and reading books and things like that, that's obviously going to slow down. And also your ability to analyze things critically, you know, will decrease if you're not consistently kind of working out that muscle and asking questions and doing a bit of a deeper dive into things instead of just taking them at face value. And I pulled this quote. Actually, there was a TED Ed blog and they had this quote in there from the author, Kita Christensen. She said, "Our brains have evolved to make quick judgments about the people we meet in order to sort them into understandable categories." And the reality is why that's so detrimental is that people are incredibly complicated, right? Like, we are all not just one thing, although people try and make you that one thing, right? And this is why I don't believe in cancel culture, because just because you might have done some fuck shit, you might have said something, doesn't mean that we need to throw the entire person away, right? Like, that's why people can evolve, because people are complicated. You have the ability to sort of be brought up a certain way, have certain viewpoints, but then also the ability to change due to time and experience and exposure to other things and other people. And I know people would be like, "Well, you went in on Pitbull." Yeah, I went in on Pitbull, but I also blatantly said I did not want to cancel him. I think that was a fucked up opinion that he had in a fucked up statement. But Pitbull has the ability to evolve. And the same with anybody else that I'm talking about, the J Balvins of the world and all these different people. Like, I don't subscribe to cancel culture for this reason. People are incredibly complicated. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and say I've never quick judged people, right? Like, I've been guilty, like many people, to kind of look at a girl's Instagram and it's all like bikini pictures or booty pics. And I'm just like, oh, she's an internet thought, right? I'm not proud of that, but I've definitely been victim to falling to those quick judgments. Like, how do I know that she doesn't fucking volunteer in the hospital every Sunday? You know what I'm saying? Like, reading to orphans or some shit like that. Like, I don't know that. She very well might be. Like, maybe she's in fucking med school. Maybe she's in law school. Like, I don't know what she does outside of that. So, you know, me judging her on the internet and immediately writing her off as some sort of like thought, it's a disservice to the fact that she's a complicated person just like the rest of us. And I hope this isn't coming across as like quote unquote rich people problems. And no, I'm not including myself as being rich, but like, I'm not whining about the fact that people in comments or on the internet like to make up stories or fill in the blanks as they see fit for who you are and what you stand for. I'm more concerned about what it means for us as a culture that we feel like we can get a snapshot into somebody's life on social media and that now we have, you know, them totally figured out and we decide basically whether we love or hate them at that point, you know? And I think a lot of that has contributed to this idea in society that we can't like have a difference of opinion and still coexist together. And obviously there are different extremes. If you are a racist, if you are a misogynist, like, I don't want to fucking coexist with you. That's not an opinion. You're just a disgusting individual. But for the normal things in life, you know, I think that we can still coexist with one another and still have maybe difference of opinions, you know, on certain topics. And that's a lot of what I'm saying as well, you know. I think we just have to slow down before trying to write people off, you know. And that's like the kind of like basis of cancel culture. You do one thing that I don't like, you say one thing that I have a disagreement on, that means let's throw, you know, the baby out with the bathwater. And I think that the internet culture has created a lot of that because it creates this mob mentality where people with half the information or, you know, with sort of just one read of a moment in time decide that a person and their entire life and their entire life's work now need to be erased from the face of the planet and society as a whole. Now, again, certain egregious things. R. Kelly, fuck him. I never wanted to hear from him again. He's canceled. But, you know, when it comes to statements people make or opinions that aren't popular, I think we all have to have a bit more of patience and empathy with one another and running to make a quick judgment about somebody that kind of shows your lack of empathy for somebody else's point of view as a complex human being, just like any one of us. And with that said, let's kind of lighten it up a little bit in the Miente segment of the show. And I'm going to read to you the good, the bad, the ugly of comments I've gotten on this podcast and give you my honest response to what some people have had to say. So it's our version of like celebs reading mean tweets, except unfortunately you're not listening to somebody who is a celebrity, but hopefully you'll still be just as entertained by it. So we'll get into that in the Mi Gente segment of today's show. Mi Gente. All right. So as promised, we are going to read the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to reviews of this podcast, Life as a Gringo. And I'm literally going to just read from like top to bottom here. Okay. This is Roger Star 72 said, "Like your show, I support it. We need more of it. this type of show everywhere. But sometimes it gets uncomfortable listening. What I mean is, I'm Latino, wait, Hispanic, wait, Chicano, wait, whatever you think is appropriate, because it all gets criticized. Also, I feel all of America is a melting pot, meaning you could have grown up anywhere in America and take on some of the culture where you grew up. I grew up with hip hop, but are you going to criticize me because I'm not black? I'll still listen. People need to be made uncomfortable to learn. But at the same time, I feel you get on a bandwagon to bash your people if we happen to dye our hair or listen to music that's not our own. Peace. Keep doing your thing. And first and foremost, Roger, I appreciate you. You said a lot of really good things in there. And I'm glad that you believe that this is the type of show that we need to have more of. I appreciate that. I appreciate you listening. And also, even though you may disagree on certain things, I appreciate you saying you basically are coming along for the ride and understanding that people have the ability to learn and all that kind of stuff. With that said, to be honest, this is one of the comments that kind of got me thinking about this whole topic, because there are a lot of things in here that just are not true, right? And I think it's probably reflective of the fact that maybe you've listened to one or two episodes or whatever the case may be, and you're not here from day one, which is, I don't expect you to have burned through 20-something episodes. But my point being is that you made a judgment or formed an opinion on me and my standpoint before really kind of taking a deep dive into maybe some more of my content, kind of learning about where I stand and what I actually believe on things. And listen, I'm not here to make it like, oh, what was B? Somebody was mean in the comments or something like that. Because you actually weren't mean. You were cool as fuck. But I will say some stuff like this kind of frustrates me. And Roger, let me just say, I'm not trying to come down on you, your commentary, your assumptions. As much as I think some of the things you assumed were wrong, maybe I'm not doing a great job of completely expressing where I stand on certain things. So this is me addressing it and hopefully maybe clarifying it for anybody who might have come to similar assumptions to you. Like, for example, you know, if you knew anything about me, you know that my background comes from the radio show The Breakfast Club, where I worked for 4 years. That had been a passion of mine. That had been something I was super invested in. That is a hip hop station. And they primarily just talk about, you know, issues relating to the hip hop community and mostly, you know, black people. You know, though, you know, obviously we'll touch on a few things for black and brown and different things like that. But it is unapologetically black culture, which is what makes them so incredible. So I think you might have misconstrued certain things about what I was saying when it comes to our culture and embracing it, things like that, because I love hip hop like you. I grew up on hip hop, but it's very much a part of the makeup of who I am as a human being. And the basis of this podcast is literally almost what you said of this: America is a melting pot, meaning you could have grown up anywhere in America and take some of the culture. That's the basis of this podcast, is the fact that you exist in that gray area because you take with you the culture of America where you were born in, but you also have the culture of your ancestors and where your family has come from. And they very much make up a part of you, and you can't choose either side there. They both equally make up just as much of you. And then the idea of, like, you know, you said bandwagon to bash your people if we happen to dye our hair and listen to music that's not our own. I mean, and again, if you listen to, like, the episode with my parents, I talk about how I played in a band. Like, I played in a metal band. I had a lip ring. You know what I'm saying? Like, that culture is not at all Latin culture, right? I was one of the few kids in Latin culture that was into that, you know, that was playing that kind of music. And then also you mentioned, like, the idea of dyeing our hair, right? And I think you're probably referencing an episode where I talked about, like, hosts on Univision television shows and things like that, dyeing their hair blonde. And here's, like, the idea of that is, it's the concept of there's nothing that makes you more or less Latino, right? Like, you are who you are. You're Latino regardless. Like, that, there's nobody that could change your ancestry. My point being that if you're doing things like dyeing your hair blonde, you know, to have closer approximation to white people and trying to present as white because you know that that's what media wants, that's where the issue lies. It's the idea that we can't show up as ourselves and still find that same level of success, that we have to try and blend in with white culture as much as humanly possible. And sadly, in our media, they keep on sort of rewarding that trope and that stereotype, and that people in our culture feel like they have to, you know, continue that on in order to find any sort of success. And I don't want to, you know, spend too much time on somebody's one comment or anything like that. Again, I appreciate you even just checking out the podcast and leaving your feedback. But I think it's an example to kind of, you know, showing, like, this knee-jerk reaction that many of us have to certain things and kind of this rush that we have to have our opinion of somebody heard before we've even given ourselves to really, truly get to know the person to formulate an opinion about them. And when I talk about things like this can be dangerous, it's like you might have somebody looking at the reviews or something like that, and maybe they would benefit greatly from some of the topics we talk about, some of the information. But now they might not, because you've kind of taken this snapshot judgment of the product before you've even really gotten a chance to dive into it. And now they think it's one thing when it really isn't. And that can go with, you know, life in general. If somebody is like, oh yeah, I'm thinking about getting a job here or about to work with this person, and like you've had a quick run in with them and you're just like, nah, fuck that person. Like, your quick judgment of that might hurt a potential relationship that could be happening, both business or personal. But with that said, Roger, I appreciate your feedback, your comment. Hopefully, you know, you are interested enough to take the time to kind of dive into some of the back catalog and get to know kind of what I stand for and who I am, and understand that, you know, I believe there's space for all of us, and we should be celebrating both sides of ourselves, that there is no right or wrong way to be Latino. It's just a matter of having love and embracing both sides of yourself, right? And not changing that just to kind of be able to fit in more so with, you know, life here in America, or essentially white culture here in America. Thanks again. This one from Frankie Machete. He says, at the age of 48, I'm learning so much from your podcast. Didn't realize how much I was missing out on in life. I always conform to everything, but with your podcast, it has made me think a lot more about life. Man, that is incredible to think that I'm touching somebody. And I think it's beautiful that you understand that regardless of anybody's age, experience, we all have something we can learn from one another. So I love it. I appreciate you. And frankly, I mean, that's beautiful, like self-awareness to admit that you've conformed a lot in your life to sort of fit in and didn't realize, you know, how much of your life you're missing out on by not also being able to celebrate your culture and being aware of that. And I'll be honest, like, I think I talked about this before, where I went through phases where I probably conformed a bit, right? Because it was easier to fit in the suburbs, you know, and not be as loud about necessarily my culture at the time, especially when you're young and growing up. But as you get older, and I'm blessed it happened for me at a you know, relatively young age or a young point in my life, you recognize the beauty of celebrating where you come from, and that you can still exist in this world, in this country, and still be 100% authentically yourself and celebrate the path of your ancestors, even if it's not sort of the mainstream thing that's always recognized. So I love to hear that. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barapapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura Podcast Network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, we are back. So let's read this one right here. And I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say this was written by a white person. So one star, gross, is the headline, and it's by Dunning-Kruger. Says, your race shouldn't be the defining characteristic of your personality. If it is, you're probably a racist. Time to grow up. America has been multicultural and equal society for a long time. This boogeyman who silently judges your culture does not exist. Nobody cares about what you do inside your own home. Having a victimized mentality throughout life will not benefit you in the long run. And Hispanic people already get plenty of advantages from the government. So maybe think about how exactly you've been disadvantaged, because I can't really figure out exactly what your problem with living in America is, but you're more than welcome to leave if you hate it here so much. Okay, well, these are funny to me, because it's obviously like the content obviously isn't made for you, but you still felt the need to express your opinion and tell other people how they feel. There's also remnants of the go back to where you came from in here. So I think it's very obvious where this person stands. Hispanic people have already gotten plenty of advantages from the government. That's a funny, funny take on things. OK, so obviously this person is talking about certain like equality rules, let's say, that are put in. I'm just going to go on a limb on like workplaces for diversity and things like that, or interviewing X amount of people from X amount of races and things like that. And that is that means we've gotten plenty of advantages from the government. I would love to hear other ones and how we might ignore the fact of the colonization of Puerto Rico and the sort of dehumanization of the people of Puerto Rico from basically the time America has gotten involved until present day, or what's going on in the border, or the pay gap that happens in this country where Latinas in the U.S. are paid 43% less than white men and 28% less than white women. And then also just saying, nobody cares what you do inside your own home. Interesting. I'm going to ignore that because we talk about abortion. So obviously people care about what you do with your body and inside the privacy of your own home. And B, that means that, okay, our only safe place in this country is inside of our own home. Interesting. And the last line that I love is America has been a multicultural and equal society for a long time. Right. Right. Define equal. Because we are disproportionately killed by COVID, by police, not given loans for businesses. Explain to me in how we are exactly an equal society for all. And again, this person cannot live in a world where you have a difference of opinion from them. You are not allowed to criticize the country. It is a perfect country. Never has made any mistakes. Yeah, 'cause slavery never existed. Segregation never existed. Women's rights, you know, have always been up to par. Yeah. Thank you, Dunning-Kruger, for your proof that we still live in a society that refuses to understand that somebody's life and their upbringing and their experience may differ from your own. Okay. And let's end on a positive note, because I really appreciate y'all. Actually, real quick, I want to read one other one real quick. Room for Growth is the title of the headline by Island Girl 182. I thought each episode was okay, although the vaccine episode was extremely biased and sounded like he was promoting the vaccine. He came off really critical to those that oppose the vaccine. I think no matter what the podcast subject is, a good podcast host should play devil's advocate and understand different people's perspectives. I think if you want to reach a vast amount in audience, this should be considered. But the podcast just started. It does have room for growth. He probably should stick to topics he's knowledgeable about, such as his culture. But other topics, wasn't too impressed. I felt like I was listening to an opinionated piece. Okay, well, welcome to a fucking podcast where I'm your host and I'm giving you my opinion on my platform, essentially. And listen, I do try and give you both sides of every argument. I acknowledge the other side and then give you a reason why I don't agree with it. But this is also, I think, the problem with a lot of people. Like she says, if you want to reach a vast audience, I'm not concerned with reaching the masses. I'm not concerned with watering down my opinions and my product just so I can reach more people. The people that fuck with it and the people that it's meant for, they're gonna get it. And they might not agree with me on everything I say, but they're gonna fuck with it and support it, right? And I'm not sitting here trying to be the like biggest name in podcasting, because that would just be mean that I had to water down my product to be able to reach mass audiences. That's not what I'm interested in doing. I'm here to be of service to my people, to my community, and to those who don't feel like they have a voice. I'm not here to just be another talking head that is trying to make everybody love him. But thank you, Island Girl. And we'll end on a positive one here. Let's see. Canda K10, if I fucked that up, I'm sorry. Insight into a new perspective is the headline. Looking forward to future episodes. It is so important that we expose ourselves to new perspectives and ideas. Podcasts like this give us that opportunity. And I appreciate you for saying that. It's ironic when I read some of the negative ones that you're talking about. It's so important that we expose ourselves to new perspectives and ideas. But that's how we grow, right? That's how we get educated on things, get put on different things. And I feel like our opinions and ideas are ever evolving and should be. You know, obviously we have our moral cornerstones that we rely on that kind of give us that guidance and that compass in this life, as far as what lines we're willing to cross and not cross. But yeah, it's important to have other people who have maybe read different things than us and have formulated different ideas from their own experiences that we can learn from and help shape our own ideas. So I appreciate you for recognizing that. There's a bunch of other comments. Honestly, the rest are are pretty much all positive, which I appreciate y'all for showing so much love on here. It really does, man, mean the absolute world to me. And I hope that this didn't come across as me like bitching and moaning about anything. I'm incredibly blessed to be doing what I'm doing. I just thought it'd be a fun exercise. And I also just think like it's an interesting perspective to kind of like see people trying to tell you what you're doing, you know what I'm saying, or make assumptions about the things that you are doing, or make judgments based upon, you know, quick sort of little insights that you're giving them into your life. And again, I know it's human nature and all, but it's definitely, I mean, frustrating, you know. It's I think anybody can understand that if you've ever heard somebody say a lie about you or make up some rumor about you, that it's incredibly frustrating, you know, even when it's not true. And I think it's the same thing with this kind of stuff. But again, that's what I signed up for by being in the public eye. It's just funny to read some of these things. I hope y'all found it entertaining as well. Now, with that said, let's kind of wrap everything up we learned in a neat little bow in a segment we call Conclusion Stew.
Time for Conclusion Stew.
All right. So this has been a bit of an up and down episode, but I do want to kind of summarize all that we're learning here, or all that we've talked about, I guess I should say today. I do want to read one of the quotes that I pulled from those blogs, and it was actually a Carl Jung quote, and it said, thinking is difficult. That's why most people judge. And I think it's so accurate for this kind of thing. I think we're living in this era where people don't value critical thinking or kind of are always going for the easy answer. And I think that it's going to be a detriment to our society if we don't begin to sort of correct this, you know? And I think that it's reflective and kind of, man, like important things like we're seeing in this political landscape, you know, where people are just sort of reading the headlines and formulating these really angry opinions towards what we're seeing, you know, and literally in some cases risking their entire livelihood based upon these sort of like bottomless claims by people rather than taking a second to do a little bit more research through a simple Google search, you know. And I would hate to think that we become this society where the idea of like fact checking or the idea of like being patient and waiting to formulate our opinion kind of goes out the window. And also, I think what goes out the window, and this was mentioned in one of those researchers, one of those blogs I mentioned at the top of the show, the idea of empathy goes out the window, right? Our ability to, you know, see things from other people's perspectives and allow them some sort of grace, you know, as human beings who are imperfect, you know, we're all imperfect, and our inability to, you know, allow people the grace of having a difference of opinion or the grace to kind of learn from mistakes or things like that. Like us not being able to do that as a society is going to be detrimental. And those are the types of things that scare me, you know. And I would also say in the idea of like social media culture and kind of getting back to this like YouTube comment type of thing of like, you know, I know I'll see comments from people where it's like they make a judgment and then they'll make another comment after like, okay, I just finished watching it. He addressed it. My bad. So it's interesting to me, we live in this culture where your opinion, like the quality of your opinion is less important than just making sure that you have an opinion that people can hear, right? And that's what's scary is that people, everybody has a platform and everybody just wants to be heard and is fighting to be heard. And they don't care if what they're saying makes sense, if what they're saying is true, as long as they're getting heard. And that's what this like, you know, goes down this further idea of clout and all these different topics along that, where people don't care what they're famous for as long as they're famous. And that's a really, really scary era to live in. You know, I mean, shit, we see it with like some of these stupid challenges on the internet that like, you know, might be fucking up kids for life, or these pranks were like what those kids were like fake robbing a bank and then the cops came and the Uber driver and all these different things. Like it's just like this idea where we just create this culture where we just, all we care about is attention, and it doesn't matter whether it's good or bad, whether it's coming for the right reasons, we just want attention. And to me, that's a very scary place to kind of go as well. And I'm kind of bouncing around a little bit because I just think this is a bit of a multifaceted topic that leads into other topics that I've addressed before. Maybe I'll address further in other episodes. But I think where I would rest it in is that this idea of knee-jerk reaction dehumanizes us a bit. And overall, to me, that's the biggest issue, because it creates things like cancel culture where we're unable to understand people are complicated and that people can make mistakes or can have a difference of opinion, but not necessarily be a bad person, right? and eventually just turns us into like robots or just people who kind of like join the masses, you know, and it's like, okay, Twitter's calling for the cancellation of this person. Let me hop on that bandwagon just because I want to go along with everybody else, totally ignoring the human aspect of it, right? And those are things that scare me when it comes to society and social media. And again, I think to close it out, the idea of social media and all these things, it's evolving very quickly. And it's also a new technology in terms of society, right? Like there is no handbook for living in an era where we're so connected, where we're so reliant on technology. So we're learning right now. And we have to devise those rules. It's up to us to decide what's right and wrong, set those boundaries, you know, what crosses the line, what doesn't. It's up to us to do that because this is unprecedented. I mean, shit, our government doesn't even know what the fuck to do about Facebook and Twitter and all these different things, right? So like, it just goes to show you, like, these are unprecedented times, and it's up to us as human beings to kind of say, like, hey, this is what the line is, and I refuse to cross it, and I refuse to not recognize the human aspect of it, because at the end of the day, the person that you're judging on the internet or the person you're trolling on the internet, like, that's a real person on the other side of that, you know? And they deserve the same kind of humanity and grace as you would want for yourself. And I think that's what we have to kind of remember. I think the internet makes us kind of feel like people are not real, right? These aren't real human beings, but they are. And I would hate to live in a culture, in a society that doesn't value the humanity of us and the complexity of us as people, and doesn't kind of view people with empathy and with, I guess, love at the end of the day. And with that said, I appreciate y'all for tuning in. Thank you so much to everybody that's left a comment, a review of the podcast on Apple Podcasts. If you could do that, I would greatly appreciate it. And maybe I'll do another one of these where I can read some more on the show. At DJ Dramas on Instagram, if you want to be a part of these conversations that we have for Ask a Gringo, I read those on the air for most normal episodes. But of course, I am battling inclement weather and was not able to get that out on social media. But Thursday's episode, I promise y'all, we will have our Ask a Gringo segment. Until then, thank y'all so much for supporting the show. And I will talk to you on Thursday with our Thursday Trends episode covering the big headlines from our community. Stay safe. I'll talk to y'all then.
Peace.
Life as a Gringo is a production of the Michael Dura Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barapapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20 en español.com.